What up?
Full of laughs.
We are here for another episode of the Coco Talk podcast. We are lucky enough today to be joined by Tiamo Bulk Gaines McLean. Thank you very much for coming through, brother.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you guys for having me. Beautiful space.
Yeah, we're talking about our space, and it's like a multi-faceted space. It's got my business stuff. We've got like normal garage shit, and it's our podcast studio. Sometimes we use for rolling, sometimes for late night soirees. But anyway, yeah, if you wanted to.
Jamal's like, I don't really want to do a podcast in here anymore.
All the sin on the walls. Yeah, if you just wanted to take the time just to introduce yourself, bro, and like where you're from and yeah, where does your story start?
Okay. Ko mauna pohatu te mauna, ko ohotu me o te niku nā marae, ko te pō tiki tiki me te poho taha tū o te au nā whare tīpuna, ko te whānau pani me Ngāti Kaura nā hapū, ko mātā tū o te waka, ko tū hoi te iwi, kia ora whānau, no Tiamo McLean ahau, no tā Ngātu ahau. Yeah, so my name is Tiamo McLean. Been living here in the Gold Coast for probably about 6.5 years. Moved over, I lived 24 years of my life over in New Zealand. And amongst, you know, the Ngahere, the bush. So I've come from the bush and now living in amongst the concrete jungle. Yeah.
And what was it, if you wanted to dive into it, yeah, what was your childhood like? You know, good memories, like what was your experience? From your perspective now.
I was saying to you fellas earlier, there's a couple of ways I like to tell my story. And, you know, growing up back then as kids, bro, we had the best childhood. You know, we created our own fun. We made our own childhood memories, which, you know, a lot of kids nowadays don't get to, you know, or they do get to do it, but they don't do it because they got, like, technology to keep them quiet for X amount of time while their parents get to do things, you know. Whereas us, we're out there playing bull rush, playing mud fights, swimming down the river, fighting with the cousins, and you know all of that, bro. You know, and it kind of like it brought out a lot of competitiveness because we were like, you know, always fight, you know, doing things against.
I'm the best. I'm the toughest. I'm the fastest.
Know? Yeah, bro. All of that as well. So, my childhood was the best, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But yeah.
Like speak a little bit.
My childhood was the best, bro, that I could remember anyway, growing up back there, with, you know, but all, in amongst it all, we had obviously like your cliche talk of like, you know, your gang, your violence and all of that type of stuff, but most of the time, bro, it was a lot beautiful. Yeah, now that I see it, I see things a lot more clearly since being and living over here in Australia now, so you didn't see past, you know. 1 meter when I was living back there, bro, I was here. Didn't have no goals, didn't have no vision, didn't have no drive. Just, yeah, it was just that, see. But just now, living. Yeah, bro, it was just living.
I think that's like a common, we were saying before, like a common story is we've all experienced something back home. You know, everyone's experienced whatever they have. And then you move over here and then you're almost stuck in the same loop from over there, but it's a new environment here. And then you kind of just get caught up in your own shit in some way for good reason. But yeah, like you can't see past.
Yeah.
Like, not the bad shit, but your trauma in some way, like it kind of suffocates you to some degree.
Yeah, 100%, bro. You know, a lot of us go through our own struggles. You know, we all have our own story to tell. Some are just worse than others, you know. And man, I just, you know, since moving from New Zealand to here, and changing my perspective, changing my community, that I've able to like just, you know, strip a few layers away and just become myself. Whereas back home, I was always hiding behind this staunch, this toughness, this, you know, somebody that I really wasn't. And you know, I didn't really get to express all that I was, all that I am, back there, because I always had to, you know, I thought I always had to have this staunchness to me, and bro, it kind of saved my life in a way. Because I was constantly getting into trouble, I was constantly fighting, I was, yeah, just, it was just a, yeah, you only know what you know and what you see, and that's all I seen growing up back there, was a lot of violence, a lot of fights, but like I said, and I say in amongst it all, bro, was a lot of beautiful childhood memories. Yeah.
Mm. What's one of your like coolest childhood memories? Oh, fun, mischief.
I had a lot of awesome childhood memories, bro. One of them would be you know, providing, going hunting, you know, pigs, deer with my old man in that. There was awesome childhood memory that I would always remember. Swimming, you know, you go down swimming down a river, clean water, drink out of your own river, you know, all of those types of things. What else? Playing bull rush, you know, all of that. Rugby, oh, man.
There's always enough cousins around to have like a team to play something, right. Some sort of sport.
Yeah. Bro, so many kahis. All the cousins. Yeah, hard.
Have you always been like a person who's like knowing they've wanted to be like an individual, I guess? Like when you knew there was something like, yo, this is not my jam.
I've known that I've been like a really good person, bro. I've always been a really good person. But I think a lot of me never used to take a lot of shit back there. But now that I'm over here, I get to be a good person. But I've got rid of a lot of those layers of being staunch and stuff like that, bro, that now I just do everything out of love. Mm. You know what I mean? Just everything is love now, bro, rather than trying to be staunch and, you know, I'm just myself wherever I go. Mm. You take me how I am, bro. Mm. It is what it is, you know. If you don't like me, you don't like me. If you like me, well, let's go. Yeah.
Like even this morning, you know, being yourself.
Yeah.
What happened, bro?
Story time. Yeah, so went to go get clonic therapy, bro. And basically what that is you get a tube put up your bum. And this is something that's really way out of my comfort zone, bro. But I know that, you know, since being on this journey over here in Australia, that, man, I can be, you know, put myself out there, outside of my comfort zone, knowing that it could possibly help many other people out there, bro. So this is the reason why I like to step in, do things that are really uncomfortable for myself, knowing that I'm stretching myself and, you know, I'm learning as I go as well. But this is like a really taboo kind of thing for any Māori Polynesian person to do, to have a stranger, let alone, you know, anybody you know, kind of come down into your sacred bit and put a tube with a little bit of lube up your bum, bro, and then, you know, flush you, yeah, bro, and then flush you out with all the toxins. But, like, you know, the way I feel now, and, bro, it literally only happened like a couple of hours ago, the way I feel now, bro, I feel like, bro, I'm walking on water, I feel on top of the world, and I feel amazing, bro, I feel light. And this is only the first session for me, bro, yeah, clonic therapy, bro, and, bro, I highly recommend it, bro. If this is how I'm feeling right now, bro, I highly recommend it to a lot of people. They asked if it, I know my followers asked if it hurt, bro, and nah, it doesn't hurt because it only takes 1 to 2 seconds with a little bit of lube to go up there, bro, and then, you know, you kind of just surrender and just let it, you know, just do its thing, bro. But the lady herself, bro, is really, like, lovely, and she's, like, makes you feel safe and, you know, it's just really comfortable with her as well. So, man, like I said, that's a really taboo thing, bro, and I know that it's going to help a lot of people by me putting myself out there as well, bro, so yeah, I'm all about doing stuff like that, especially if it's going to help many other people out there. But then when I think about that as well, bro, is that, you know, even away from just the clonic therapy itself, is that how many other people in communities can put themselves out there by stepping outside of their comfort zone to give permission to a wider range of people, whether that be through positivity and love, you know, because in a time like now is when we really need it in the world, I feel, anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's especially for like men, bro.
Yeah.
It's very hard to like step outside of your comfort zone and try these different things for like upkeep of yourself or like self discovery and stuff.
Yeah.
But then if you see a dude like Bulk Gaines do, you're like, oh shit. If he's doing it, fuck, there must be something to it. Or it's like, oh, I've done research on this shit, but I've been so scared to do it. So I reckon it's pretty cool.
Yeah, bro. Oh, definitely like breaking cycles. Breaking cycles. Mm. And that's like, you know, the space that I love operating in now, bro. For example, taking my beautiful darling, my darling back to New Zealand to propose to her in front of my friends and family was way out of my comfort zone as well. You know, I'd never show my love in that way, bro. And I knew by me doing this that it's going to show my nephews and my nieces back home and just my friends in general, bro, that it's a right to show your emotions and your feelings towards somebody. It's a right to love somebody. You know, this is like, bro, this is 2021 now. You know what I mean? That shit's 1990 shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You don't need that staunchness anymore, bro.
So, yeah. Like I said, bro, we all have a story to tell, bro, and a lot of it, you know, kind of intertwines into a lot of people's stories as well, bro, like all kind of like the same as well. But for me, it's a lot to do with like breaking cycles within my family. Telling my brother for the first time I loved him was like 2 years ago. Any of my family members, bro, and that, like, you know, was by far one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life. You know, it was really, really hard. And I had to build up a lot of courage that day, bro, but I wanted to tell him while I was sober as well. And that's when I knew that, you know, my words held a lot of mana.
Yeah.
That if I could tell him while I'm sober, bro, and if I could, I was like, bro, ring him up. I was like, hey, bro, just want to ring you up. And, bro, I couldn't find the words, bro. I was just like, really, like, whew, it was a weird feeling. Just wanted to ring you up and just tell you, I love you, bro. And then he goes, oh, true. and then what are you up to? Nah, nothing. I'll suss you out later. Yeah, bro, yeah. And that was it, bro. But, you know, for me, that was like me breaking that barrier within my family as well. So I rung up every other family member just to let my mum and my dad know that I love them. And it's funny because my dad only just started using Messenger like last year. Yeah, bro, for the first time, and then I'll just drop in because of the space that I've been in currently, bro, with, like, you know, men's medicine, and that has made me a lot more open-minded in that, and so I'll drop in, oh, I love you, Dad, you know, and even those are hard, bro, just to send the three messages for me, and then it'll start off with, like, a thumb, you know, like a thumb, bro, yeah, and then it, the choice, and then the next one, bro, I got them all on my phone, bro, it's funny, bro, and I look back at it now. And I look back, and then the second time I said it to him, I was like, oh, I love you in the message again, Dad. And he goes, same. And then the third time was, you too.
So
I'm getting around to the old man in there. And then he finally said it, bro. And I went, boom, win. Yeah, it was a win. So, you know, but, you know, that's just been like how they're being brought up as well, bro, to not show that side of them.
I still remember when I told my older brother that I loved him. I think it was when my uncle passed away back home. This uncle like helped raise us and stuff. And we went to the hospital. He was at Middlemore.
Yep.
Went inside and my uncle passed away. And we're like, oh shit, you know, oh bloody hell, you know. They took the body downstairs. We had all the family around and everything. Yep. And then we were walking back to the car and I told my brother, I was like, oh, I love you, bro. I was like, honestly, I do. Even though I live in Australia, I don't tell you that often. And he was like, oh, yeah, love you too, bro. And it was weird, man, like, because we don't talk to each other like that. Like, we grew up hating each other, living in the same room. Like, I wanted to kill him all the time. He wanted to kill me and just fought. And then, like, I guess for us to be able to share that kind of thing with each other, bro, just, like, strengthened the relationship. It was just like, all right, cool. I'm not competing with you or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I really do love you. I don't see you that often. I live in Australia. And I think it just, like, opened up things for our family, you know, to speak to my dad, even though my dad makes fun of me and shit when I say, love you, Dad. And he's like, the hell are you, some kind of homo or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do they speak like that at your church?
my thing, bro, was I didn't want to go to the grave and let that be the first and last time that I told any of my family members that I love them. And plus, we got a new generations of nephews and nieces coming through now that, you know, I want them to feel okay to express who they are when they want, you know.
And it's like my pride and my ego isn't more important than my love for my family.
Oh, exactly.
It's like I'd rather have a million people laugh at me for saying I love you than like to miss out on saying that to my dad or my brother.
Why do you think it's such a like a taboo kind of thing to say, bro? Like,
I think that's how they read masculinity back then.
Yep.
Oh, this guy's a poof. Look at him. Look at him sharing his feelings. I think people are a lot more guarded with like their feelings back then. Because, like, there wasn't much information available, you know. We had, like, three channels on TV. We had the news. We had school. We had uni. And a lot of our parents didn't make it all the way through school.
Yeah.
Like, my old man dropped out in, I think, like, the beginning of high school back in Samoa. I made it through school, but it's such a common thing Yep. And a lot of our olds never really made it through school. They drop out to work. They drop out to raise a family. You know, it's not till later on down the track. They're so separate to like education that they just like, go to school, go to university. They don't know what's happening at university, but they're just like, go. You just need to get an education because that's what they're told on the news and stuff.
Is there anything around like in Samoan culture around like holding face? Do you think that gets mixed up with emotions and how you need to hold yourself in front of others and like not being too vulnerable?
I guess like face is such a huge thing in our culture, you know?
Huge,
but it's probably like bigger than money. Like you may not have any money, but if you give it all, like a lot of things in our culture, if you give it all or like you've given it all away, it's almost seen as like, oh man, you guys are a really well off family to be able to do that kind of stuff. I know face is very important, but also like you see it for the protection thing. You see why people aren't so open, because there are those people out there that will take advantage of. You know, they see like a bit of weakness and they'll come in. Like you can see why safety's a huge issue and why safety for a lot of us men, like at this age, we don't feel safe to be able to share those kind of feelings, to be able to say like, I love you, bro. Oh man, I'm fucking scared. You know, oh, I'm worried about this kind of thing. Without that safety, it's just staunch. What are you looking at?
It's definitely beautiful to start. You're starting to see a lot of change within our families, within what's kind of going on now, bro. Like a lot of people are starting to come forward and, you know, being able to express themselves and all that they are, you know. It's beautiful to see. Even like back home now, like I'm starting to see people starting to make change within our community as well, trying to stop, you know, the pee. And this is from people that actually used to smoke the crack quite hard out. Now trying to make change and helping out people, you know, trying to overcome like addictions and stuff like that, and just also filling up their weight away and just, you know, taking time out for themselves. But you'd never ever see that, bro, like a few years ago. And I think I think it was the men walk that kind of went through our community back home, bro, and men's medicine, they kind of started to change the perspective of a few of our boys in Tūhoe. And now they're starting to, like, bring together a community as well, bro, to start, like, looking after themselves, to run these programs. And, bro, it's beautiful to see. I actually jumped on call with a couple of them, bro, and they're still patched up mobsters. Jumped on a call with them, and man, just to see the change that they've done with themselves, bro, and just to be able to share their story from what they've come from as well, because I've grown up with these fellas like 24 years of my life, bro, and for them to be able to express and just to cry, even like this was on like a FaceTime, bro, to be able to cry to me and me cry to them, like, fuck, brother, this is the mahi, this is where it's at. You know, and for you fellas as patched up mobsters to put your fellas selves out there like this, bro, you fellas are going to be the ripple effect throughout your fellas' family and your guys, our community, back home. And change is starting to happen, bro. I'm starting to see it. It's so beautiful, bro. It's giving me goosebumps just talking about it. I love this.
It's almost like bigger than us. Like a friend of mine was saying that as well. Like it's, we can see it happening, but it's something bigger behind us. It's happening within the, like, the Māori and the Pacific community.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, we talk, you know, I don't know, me, I'm just like, and share your truth. Like, bro, it's on one of my bloody cards.
Yeah.
But to actually share your truth, I think it's when you were saying, like, for you to say I love you, fuck, that's a hard thing. Like, easier said than done. Like, it's overwhelming.
I mean it's easy when you're drinking in on all the drugs. I fucking love you, bro.
Yeah,
man, when you're sober and you're looking that dude in the eye, you're like, I fucking love you, bro, catch you up.
Shit.
I even think within relationship, like, I found if we were on some sort of, you know, whatever, choose your substance, it's easier for your words to float in some way, you know, because it takes you somewhere else where you can kind of, I don't know, numb something else. But then for us to, like, sit and learn to have, like, truthful, like, honest, pure, honest conversations, it hits a little bit different, man, you know. It's uncomfortable because you have to hear it as well. Not only, like, I love you, but, you know, whatever needs to come through.
Your words also hold a lot of meaning, a lot of mana, bro, when you're true to yourself. And, you know, you might be a man of a few words, but when you do say something, bro, you know that it's coming from a place, hey, bro, that he's on.
Yeah.
You listen. Mm. He means it. You know, it's not like a place of talking kaka and stuff like that. So, fuck yeah, bro. Been a beautiful space that I've been in, bro, over here in Australia. Been around, obviously, the men's medicine space as well. And I think, bro, I don't think I know that's where my life changed for the better since living over here. And when I done that first walk, bro, with them, I had this experience like of before going into it. Actually, I went into it curious. I didn't go in there with an open mind, open heart. I just went in there to see what it's all about. And I've heard so many good things.
And you just found out like on social media?
Yeah, social like media, that? Bro. And you know, obviously our community, everybody kind of knows everybody. And so I had the opportunity to go there and do it, bro. And was with my best friend, Zane Masters, yeah. So him and I done the walk. And like I said, I went in there curious and to see what it was about. And bro, when I went in there, I got exposed for all the bullshit, that had happened in my life, for the people that I had hurt. And when I came out of there, I was just like, wow, okay, fuck, if this is what it's done for me, imagine what it can do for all our people back home. Mm. And when we came out of it, I think it was like the following week or the next walk that they did do, bro, there was like 12 of our friends that went in on the next walk, and then more of our friends that went on the next walk, and the next walk. And that's kind of like how our community kind of, you know, came about, bro. And bro, we've got a real strong community at the moment of brothers that are just on the same vibe, that only want the best for you, that only want to see you win, you know, and they're to celebrate your wins as well. And bro, I've never had like a community of friends, I've never had like people like that just want to see you do good. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's made me open up a lot more. But I've done the walk maybe heaps of times now, and I get a different experience every time I go down in there. And when I went down there and I dropped into this breathwork, bro, I was able to connect with my nan, and I hadn't you know, she hadn't come to me ever, bro, after 6 years of her passing. And for me, bro, that was just like, fuck, I didn't want to wake up out of it, you know, because I was having this connection with my nan, and I fucking miss her so much, bro. And you know, I was just letting her know that I love you, Nan, that I, you know, I'm happy, that everything's going all good for me over here, blah, blah, blah. And, man, yeah, we just kept our community fucking heaps of boys, just kept going in. And then I was thinking, like, how can I keep us tight? And so me and a friend created a fitness program where we just, like, bro, just keep working on ourselves, let's do a program. Bro, we're getting, like, fucking close to, like, 50 people coming down to our Monday night trainings. Yeah, got up to about close to that anyway, bro, and it happened for a whole year, and it stopped at the end of the year. I think COVID, you know, came in and kind of interrupted it a little bit, but we still had a few people come through, and, you know, our numbers went from, like, 50, and then COVID hit, and then it went down to, like, probably 5 or 6, and they were just mostly kids. And my thing, because I started, like, I was running, I was like, man, I don't care if I have to train one person, I'm still going to train, because this is our next generation coming through. Mm-mm. And these are these kids. And we kept it alive, bro, for a whole year, bro. And now it's kind of turned into going to Kapa Haka with Te Reiti, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space.
Oh, it keeps me grounded as well. But because I've done so much work on myself since being over here, I feel like a part of me is missing. And because I come from Tūhoe, you know, and most people in Tūhoe, you know, they're like really well spoken with their reo and stuff like that. My old man and then like my family all fluent, they're all teachers back home at the high schools and stuff like that, but I never learnt the reo, and I kind of think I took it for granted as well. Since being amongst it all, I didn't learn it, bro, and since being over here, bro, like I said, on this journey, I feel like a part of me has been missing, and that's why I stay around like 2 days in there, bro, to keep myself grounded. But I also want to do his Māori reo classes as well, just to pick up the reo and stuff like that, and just be able to speak and just, you know, introduce who I am and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. One thing for me, though, like I feel like I'll never get lost, because I can pepeha back to where I'm from as well. And I know that I know I'm connected in that way. So doesn't matter where I go in the world, I'm there.
I think our reo gives us a... Cat. Welcome to the Koko Talk podcast, where the cat's in here now. But like your reo, once you learn te reo Māori, I'm not fluent at all, but same thing, you know, trying to figure my way through this life, is it gives you another way to express yourself that can't be expressed in English. It's a, I don't know, like it hits somewhere. Means like 10 different feelings, and there's like a deeper connection that happens when you speak your reo, and it's not like specific. You're not really like speaking to something like too specific, rather than you're giving someone like a full, like you're painting a picture, man, with your words. Like it's a beautiful language. It's poetic. It's inclusive. You know, it welcomes everyone. It's not a harsh language. And that's what's
the
like.
Words hold mana and strength.
Yeah, man. One word holds so much.
Yeah.
We.
just about the men's medicine thing.
Yeah, bro.
What was the deciding factor that made you want to, like, do it?
Oh, because I told myself that I wanted to give up drinking for a whole year, bro. And I decided at that time, I think it was like at the end of last year, I wanted to give up drinking and stuff like that and start working on myself. And I knew that this was going to be something that was out of my comfort zone. And plus, yeah, I just wanted to go into it and suss it out myself as well before I start preaching about what they are and who they are about and stuff like that. And like I said, bro, to get exposed in the way I did when I went in there, man, I was like, yep, there's something here. There's something here, not just for me, but for my people back home as well. And so I've hung around that space, bro, just to gain knowledge, just to, you know, see what I can kind of pick out and take away from there as well, to be able to spread as much as I can throughout our communities back home, bro. Mm-hmm. And Lino's been really, really awesome with me as well and helping me out and guiding me.
Who's that, sorry?
He's the founder of Men's Medicine. Mm-hmm. He's been, I've done his 20-week leadership course. And he's bro just helped me by like being my guide as well, bro. Pretty much like a coach, bro. And he's always there in my back pocket to ring me up and, you know, just give me the best advice and stuff like that. Bro, he's really knowledgeable in that way. So,
is that where your business started? Like from, because how long has your bulk gains been going?
It's only been going probably roughly about 6 months.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Fuck, I thought you'd been around for years.
Yeah, I thought it was fucking huge.
No, it's only been like 6 months.
So how
was
that birthed?
When I was on Leno's course, so I had a clothing line before that, but it wasn't successful. And then I done Leno's leadership program, and one of them has to do with like your SMART goals in there, and being able to, you know, break down your goals a year from now to blah blah blah, right down to the day that I was talking with them, and then breathing life breathwork into our goals and stuff like that. And very literally, I told him my goals about me wanting to do my own clothing line and where I seen it a year from now, and rah, 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 it still hasn't even been a year from now, bro, and it's kind of, gain a bit of momentum. But, bro, it got to the point after I left that breathwork and that goal setting with them is that, bro, I normally, like, fill up my car needed to be filled up, you know, it was on the light. I normally fill it up to the top, bro, most of the times. But, bro, when you literally see your goals and your days and your months and your weeks, you know, right down to the day that you think, bro, we don't have enough time on this fucking earth. We have to get shit done. So I literally just put $20 in just to get me to where I needed to make my next connection with the person, bro. So ever since then, bro, I've just been on this hard-ass grind of just wanting to get shit done and start building my brand.
How's it been? Like, I don't know, for someone who's also in business, who knows fuck all, who's making it up every single day and just, like, hoping, not hoping for the best, but you're just learning at like literally every single day. Like, how's it been for you? Like, to put yourself out there.
Bro, it has been like the biggest eye opener. Like, you know, there's talks that people, you know, want to do. Every man and his dog is doing a clothing line, right?
Yeah.
You know, but what separates other people is them wanting to be successful. It's easy to put your name on a label on your business. Say, I'm a business person, but I don't want to just be a business, you know, and just say, I own the business. I want to be a successful business person. And so I've just been on the hearty grind, just trying to make connections, bro, and just really put myself out there, you know, do things that people don't really, they say they want to do, but not doing. You know, put flyers here, talk to people, fuck, do whatever it takes.
So taking your flyers for, did you want to speak about that actually?
Oh, So obviously you've got the clothing line kind of thing, bro, but like, what else is there? You know, there's always more that we can do. And I've just been on this crazy mindset, bro, that fuck, you know, if you want shit to happen, you gotta make it happen. It's not gonna come to you. Whether that's you driving to Brisbane to go and talk to somebody, to go drive to Gold Coast to talk to somebody. Man, whatever it takes, you do whatever it takes, bro. Fucking squeeze every last bean out of you to go and do whatever it takes to make shit happen for yourself. And man, I got this event, so I'm an up and coming event, bro.
Yo.
Yeah. So how that clothing line corner came about, bro, is that I've been chasing around markets and just trying to figure out who my market is as well. And I went up to Mooloolaba for a market up there, bro, invited up there and done really well in the sales.
Sunshine Coast?
Yeah, Sunny Coast, okay, yeah. and done really well in the sales there. And then my next market was at the Cuzzy's Cafe, and there was only about 100 to 50 people that kind of went through there and done really well in the sales there. And then the next market that I was going to, bro, was Barbecue Bazaar, which was holding over 600 people, and I only sold one t-shirt. And that fucking made me like, bro, what else can I do here in the space of time? And in that space, bro, I got up and just started marketing myself, talking to people. And the more I kind of like talked to people, the more I got turned down, the better I got at talking. And so I was like, what else is there though, you know, it's not, you know, besides just this? And then I said, fuck, bro, ask that fellow if you can hire out the venue and bring all of fucking Queensland to your store. And that's where it all kind of came about, bro. So I went out and asked them, bro, how much to hire out this place? I want to build an event here to bring everybody to my Bulk Gains clothing store so they can buy my gears. Because it pissed me off, I only sold one item. Yeah, so yeah, he says, bro, come back the next week and we'll have a talk. And then pretty much, yeah, negotiated with them and then got the event. And now the events, yeah, come to life, bro. Got all the bands, got all the acts, got all the DJs, and it's going to be dropping on the 24th of July. I actually had the sit down talk with them and said that I wanted it on the 18th of September, which gave me a lot of time. It gave me seven months to prepare for this event. But I thought to myself in that time, because I really like challenging myself, I said, bro, if you can't organise, you know, bands and acts and stuff like that in the space of 2 months, and then you got 3 months to promote your event, bro, are you even worthy of being a businessman? That's where I was coming from. Yeah, are you even worthy of even doing this? You know, you don't need 7 months. So I pulled the event for 2 months and go, yep, bang, let's go. And then I got a guy on with me who's helping me with bands and acts and stuff like that as well. And he says, bro, put your Bulk Gains clothing label on the flyer. I says, fuck no, I don't want that on the flyer, bro. What happens if it turns to shit my name? Yeah, bro. But then I went back home and I sat on that, and because I like a challenge, it fucked with my head. I said, nah, bro, let's go. Fuck, put my name on that, because if you're not going to put your name on that you're going into this event half-heartedly and I don't do things in halves. And then he goes, bro, yep, let's go. Fuck, put my name my name on that thing, bro. And I says, I refuse to fucking let this event die, you know. I'm putting my name on it, bro. I'm going all out. So I'm doing whatever it takes, bro. I'm going out flyers at Hangi, put on flyers down the Kai Kitchen, flyers at every store that Maldives go to. I'm just like, Kiwis in Brisbane online stuff. So I'm trying to do a lot of my marketing organically before I go on and pay for, like, you know, online marketing and stuff like that.
It's like you're building a connection, like, with your audience, really, like face to face with the person. Yeah.
It's like people are going to come to this. People are going to come to this festival because they know you, because you're so transparent about who you are. They're like, fuck, I know he listens to mean music. I know it's going to have like mean feeds around. Like, it's almost like they're expecting it to be basically you.
Oh, let's hope so.
Tickets on sale
be,
yet?
Yeah, so tickets are going to be dropping Wednesday.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so you got early birds, VIP, GAs and stuff like that as well. Yeah, so. Oh, interesting, bro. It's interesting. It's definitely like way out of my comfort zone to do something like this, because like marketing my clothing brand, that's just me marketing. But like I also had this like planned out as well, because I had my clothing line which dropped last week. I had that coming, but I was thinking, how can I tie my clothing line into this event now that my name's on there? And what I came up with, bro, was put two golden VIP tickets into my clothing for random winners to, yeah, to kind of tie in the like,
it's like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, bro.
It's Bulk Gains, Willy Wonka,
bro. It's a big like game, bro. That's almost fun. Like a game, but it's like a cool game for me. Yeah, it's real fun. And because I had that Bulk Gains clothing kind of go past, I knew I had only about a space of 2 weeks to start organising for this event, and to see how I can best market the event through flyers. And I knew there was a lady, Crystal, bro. She's a beast in her field of marketing. She helped like with Leno and Men's Medicine. She helped Express Yourself podcast and stuff like that. She's really awesome online marketing. And I thought, yeah, I knew I was going to connect with her one day, because I dropped in. I was just dropping over here, fucking see how you are, blah, blah. I know we're going to connect one day, sis. So I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And then, boom, she came to me there, and I went over to go have a talk with her. And basically what she said to me, bro, for what I've known in the short amount of time, is fucking beastie. So I'm like, bro, I've just come off the streets to learn exactly what I've learned, bro, in that space of time. Just, yeah, like I like the game. I like the fucking, you know, market and stuff like that. I don't know fuck all, but I'm learning. I'm just throwing myself in front of everything.
What's one thing you like enjoy? Because I find marketing like quite difficult for myself, that I just kind of just talk about myself. And then if you like me, then like buy whatever the fuck I'm selling. Yeah. But yeah, like what's something you've learned from marketing that's helped you?
You just got to block the voices out and the opinions of people, because, you know, if it turns to shit, man, that's like, by you throwing yourself out there, you're learning as you go, bro. Oh, yeah, that worked for me. Oh, that didn't work for me. And like I was saying, when I was at the market, the more I got turned down, the better I got. And, bro, you just got to throw yourself out there, bro. Whatever it takes. If you want, you're going to make it happen. There's no excuses about it.
I think for a lot of us Kiwis, that's like one of the scariest things that you can do, is like put your authentic self out there for everyone to judge. And being from the home of tall poppy syndrome, it's one of the hardest things. It's almost easier to just sit in a career for the rest of your life, just so you don't have to feel that kind of anxiety or like judgment from other people.
Yeah, that really fucked me up, bro. Exactly that was, you know, the judgment of other people. I remember when I bought out my other clothing line, bro. People, my bros that I used to fuck with, and my, like, you know, in our group chats and stuff like that, they'd tell me my designs were shit. You know, and it fucking really put a thing, even though I tried to hide it, it wasn't a thing. But they told me, like, yo, it's not, you know, maybe you should need to change your designs, blah, blah, blah. But this was the toxic community that I used to hang out with, drink with, you know, get on the drugs with, and blah, blah, blah. And my thing, bro, is that I've always been a respectful person. I would never bring people down, no matter how pissed I was, no matter how on the drugs I was still respectful, and I was like, you know, I was there for a good time, whatever. But these fellas would do like screenshots of somebody who done an awesome post and bring it back into the group chat and start running them down, and it was really toxic. I felt myself starting to click onto there, and so I ended up just blocking them all out of my life, blocking them out of, you know, and that's when I started my own journey, bro, because my thing was, even though they were friends with me, really good friends with me, is that if I don't see their shit, they don't matter to me, you know. You know what I mean? So yeah, I knew that I was going to give up alcohol at the end of the year. So I wanted to have my last blast off and then just, yeah, flush out everybody that, you know, I thought would make me feel a certain way, and just got rid of them, bro. Now I don't see them. It's been a couple of years now since I've seen this shit. Mm. It's been the best thing ever, bro. Whether it be friends or family, if they're going to bring you down, if they've got nothing nice to say, fuck them off, bro. Mm.
Mm. I think that's hard too, as like a Māori, to put a boundary up for family, probably even, you know, as like Pacific Island as well. But for me, when I had to put up, you know, particular boundaries for whatever reason, fuck, it hurt. Like, it was, like, painful for me to do. I was like, it doesn't feel right. Like, it feels wrong. But knowing, like, feeling the growth as well from the distance. And then also talking to my family recently, they're just like, oh, fuck, we'll see you when you see you. Like, do you know? Like, it's going to be different when you're eye to eye. Like, fuck the social media. And
exactly.
We need to keep in contact. Like, you do your thing over there. We're doing our thing when we see each other. We're all good. But, fuck, scary. Scary to put like those boundaries up sometimes.
No, it is what it is, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we look after number one first, and that's one of my biggest lessons, bro, that I've learned as well, is that we're always there for other people. We like to give to other people. It's just in our Māori Polynesian nature. But we sometimes forget about the one person that matters, which is ourselves. But now I've learned, like, bro, you have to do you. Do you first, do you, your family, and let that be the ripple effect throughout your community. And if the people that want to see you win, bro, they'll be there to help you. But I just, like, at the moment, since I'm just doing, like, fucking shit out without no expectations. Yeah, cool. You know, if you want to help me, you want to help me, and it's all good. But I'm always there to help people, you know what I mean? I love seeing people do good things, whether I know you or not. Yeah. Whether I know you or not, that's what drives me. If I see you doing something, bro, fuck, let's go. What are you doing? Let's go. I want to try and suck out as much information as I can from that person, you know. And then if I don't say anything, get anything from him, I will probably leave you with something positive at least.
Fuck, you're a mad uni, bro.
Huh.
Yeah, I just love your hustle. Like, but especially the way that you share. Like, for someone to record their shit going into a pipe, you know.
Fuck, no. Well, bro, it was like
like, it's funny, but it's like permission now. You know, I want to go get one done because I've been sitting on it for ages.
A lot of people have.
Yeah.
Mm. A lot of people have. My inbox has been blowing up. Like, you know what I mean? But I knew that. I knew that. And for myself, bro, like, that's what I said. Like, if I can be this for 10 or 5 people, give them permission. And, bro, the texts that I've been getting are like, bro, I've always wanted to do something like this. These are the pros. Like, you know, I've always wanted to do something like, now that I've seen you do it, bro, I'm going to sign up. I'm like, wow. You know, but how many people, bro, like, away from that, the clonics therapy, if you can be that for your community, but share love and positivity throughout the world, you know, hey, bro, that's where the, oh, bro, I love that, bro.
Yeah.
I love that. It doesn't have to be a clonic thing, but be that permission. Give people permission throughout your community to love and express,
express
all that you are. Yeah.
And that you're not hurting anyone. Like, y'all, this feels good for me.
I think, like, a big thing for you, why people can connect to you is because of, like, who you are, how you carry yourself, but people feel safe around you.
Mm.
You don't have these, like, underlying, like, manipulations that you're going to, like, hatch on people. It's like, I'm trying to make people think this way. Yeah. It's just, like, your authentic self, so it makes it a lot easier to, like, engage, you know?
Mm.
And then when you start, like, opening up about your feelings and actual emotions and stuff, it gives the other person permission to be like, oh, shit, I feel that too. Maybe I'll go home and ring my dad. I'll go home and talk to my mom.
That's it, brother.
So I think, like, it's almost like you got this, like, little superpower.
You know? Fuck, come on.
And you're like, hey. Fucking, and when you share it with people, they're like, you share it with people and they're like, holy shit, I can do that too.
Bro, I just say it, bro. I'm just another black ass on the streets, bro. You know, you're over here trying to navigate this world to do my thing, you know? And, you know, for me, bro, so, you know, if I can inspire and motivate, you know, at least one person from my hometown, bro, oh, fuck, I'm happy. But when I started my journey, bro, it was obviously for myself first, but also for my little nephews, because I want them to, you know, see, bro, I never had, like, anybody to look up to when I was growing up back home. We didn't have that back in my hometown. It's just a, you know, you blink and you miss it, bro. Mm-hmm. So I want to be that for my nephews. If my uncle done it, so can I. Of what did my uncle do in this situation? Oh, he walked away from the situation. He didn't leave with, you know, just fighting and, you know, all of that. That cliche shit, bro. You know, every man and his dog, you know, got brought up around fighting. Oh, they had this bad experience. But now, like, this is new times now, bro. So I want to be able to show my nephews, bro. Let's go, boys.
It's possible.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. 100.
I think this is quite a common thing, like, from guys, like, around our age, even the younger kids. This
our
whole
age.
Like,
why are you trying to be relatable?
Yeah, I'm 36 then.
Yeah. 6 years younger, bro. Relax.
Brian, you're still fitter than me, bro. I'm 30 years old and I've got gout.
Oh. But I think, like, a common thing for us growing up is the alcohol.
Yep.
You know, alcohol is, like, just like a common thing. That's what you do on the weekends with the boys. Like, it's just what you get up to.
Yeah.
What made you want to quit, like, at the beginning of this year?
Because a lot of my arguments, bro, came from alcohol. So when I was drinking, bro, like, I was all about good times and seeing people have, you know, thing. But I was forgetting about my beautiful darling, bro. She was, you know, she was like, man, babe, come on, something's got to change, something's got to give. And every time she told me that, the worse I got.
Mm.
Yeah, but then my drinking didn't just stop at drinking. It was bags and it was MD and it was, you know, all of that shit, bro. So I was wasting my life. I was wasting money. I couldn't see clear, you know. I had no vision, no goals, like, all of that, bro. And it was just, yeah, it was her. She helped me through it, bro. And now I'm in the space, bro. I was like, fuck, bro, if it wasn't for her, I'd probably still be doing exactly the same thing, bro, yeah. And then it was just a vent of things after that, bro, through, like, men's walk. And then that opening me up to the spiritual side of things, and then that making me feel a lot more connected to myself, and then having Leno in the back corner, like, saying, like, you know, here's all, you know, this is what we should get up to, blah, 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 and just guiding me through my journey, bro. And then I just felt this mean hunger, this drive, and it just opened me up to a whole different world, bro. But I think, like, when we talk about the spiritual side of things, bro, was that people think, like, you know, you're going to see ghosts and stuff like this. And it was just totally different, bro. It's totally different, bro. Like, it's the connection, the breath work and meditation, and just, you know, owing yourself, giving back to yourself. And I think that's the best thing about it, bro, is that when you give to yourself, you got more of yourself to go out there and do what you got to do, or to give to others. And then you're the vibe, and it connects on to other people around you. So, yeah, that's where it all started, bro. And, but, fuck, I had to give it up because that's where a lot of my arguments came from. And I was like, fuck it, bro, just knock it on the head.
Mm.
So you don't have any arguments. And, yeah, knocked it on the head and still have arguments.
Are the arguments easier to deal with now? Are your arguments easier to deal with?
Definitely. I think, bro, fuck, to be honest, we had one pretty good argument, probably, but I was actually quite proud because we haven't had an argument for fucking ages, bro. So it had been coming. It had been coming. It was a fucking something so stupid, bro. I think it was just me because I was hungry. I don't know, it was the stupidest argument, but I was like, I was actually quite proud of it, bro, because I got to release. I normally drop in some breathwork meditation, but I've just been so full on, bro. But like, I've been going down there and just having a bit of time to myself and reflecting and stuff like that, but it wasn't like that full breathwork release, you know? And it kind of just built up and got to me just that day, that one day. But like I said, bro, I was so happy that it actually happened. But, you know, the old me, bro, was just like, oh, fuck it, get on the piss and this, this, and go again. So it was just that same vicious cycle.
Yep.
Whereas now, bro, her and I can, like, that was my first argument, bro, for fucking how long? You know? It was for fucking hell. I can't even remember our last argument, proper argument. It was just because we like to come up with a solution, bro, you know? Yep. We come up with a solution, blah, blah, blah. And then it's no right or wrong, but what's the best solution? And then we just go off there, bro. But, man, my ego got the best of me that day, bro, and I had to just walk away and just, like, you know, catch the train back. Catch the train back, breathe, you know, get over it, whatever, and then talk about it later when you've calmed down. And that we did, bro, now we're in a better space. Fuck, it was, yeah.
But it's always interesting navigating arguments as you get better in yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, fuck, is the beast going to come out again? Like, is the, you know, am I still going to respond the old way? Or is the other person still going to trust me that I'm, like, not here to, like, fuck them over? Like, I am telling the truth. And
oh, bro, it's a fucking journey, bro, because you're constantly fighting against the ego. You're constantly being, you know, one with yourself. You're constantly spreading the good message, but also having to live up to your words, to your message as well. And when you're thinking against it, bro, the ego is fucking there 24/7 trying to tell you to go. But when you get to detach away from the ego and you get to step back and you get to identify what does that look like for me going down this track, and it's a whole lot of fucked up, how's about this track? Yeah, this is where we're going. But when you can get to that point, normally, bro, it's a beautiful place. But sometimes the ego does get the better of you sometimes, which is all good. Which is all good. It's a lot of learning in those spaces, eh, bro?
It's being able to, like, use your ego to drive you, like, in positive ways, rather than, like, what it used to be like.
How you used to channel
it. Oh, the ego is such a powerful thing, especially for the way, like, as masculine men, like, how you use your ego. Bro, it could be just a fucking glance. You make eye contact with someone, it's like, the fuck? And you could almost throw down because of the ego. He looked at me in such a bad way. It's not until you start questioning yourself and you're like, do I really need that? Is that really serving me? So like, yeah, for men, bro, it's hard.
But that's what our people live in. You know, that's what our people live in. It's not until I've been over here on this journey that it's like, fuck, I've got a lot of unlearning to do, bro. A lot of it. Even just to look a man in the eyes for me was really difficult, bro. I'd fucking, like, fucking let's go then, you know? Like you were saying, bro, but to unlearn that, what does that mean to me now? It means love, it means connection, it means positivity, it means joy, respect, yeah, bro, all of those cool things. So I want to be able to take that back home to Aroha, bro, and, you know, bro, my vision, bro, and
I was going to ask, what's your vision?
My vision, well, my vision, sis, was like, it came to me real clear, bro, when I had ayahuasca. Bro, got invited there, and it was fucking, bro, the most powerful, most, oh, bro, I don't even know, oh, bro, it was just so beautiful that this journey took me back home. So firstly, so obviously before the COVID, this, when I had this journey probably about 3-4 months ago maybe now, and because I wanted to go, we were actually supposed to go back with Men's Medicine, bro, a week before the COVID. We had all our tickets booked, we had, I had set up our place to stay back home to go and help our people. And then the week after that, bro, COVID hit, and then no one was allowed to travel. And so it's been nearly, a year and a bit now since then, or whatever it is. And since then, bro, like, my family's been caught up in a lot of shit. My sister got sent to jail just recently, you know, for selling pee and crack, and almost had her 4 kids, you know, taken off her. And then the father's patched up mobster with bulldogs on his face. He's in jail as well. So the kids have got no guidance, and they're spread out all over my family. And I've always, like, fuck, if only the COVID never fucking hit, you know, I would have been able to go back and spread this message through my family, through my community. And maybe that might have been the flip within my sister's head for her not to go down the road that she did. And when I was in this ayahuasca journey, I was able to travel to her in the jail and sit with her, and I was like really visual, bro. It was really, really beautiful. And then I was just saying, sis, like, look, I'm so sorry that I couldn't make it back in time. And, you know, maybe if I had to come back in that time, that this would have been the thing to make you stop going down the path or give you the thought anyway. And she goes, no, it's all good, brother. All I want is a hug. And so I gave a hug. Fuck, sorry, sis. Yeah, so I gave a fuck. Fucks me up. Fucks me up just talking about it. And when I gave her a hug, this vision of my nan's driveway appeared and all her four kids come running out. And it was just really visual. And I was just hugging my sister. And I was saying, sis, like, look, this is what you've got to miss out on now. This is what you got to miss out on now because of the choices that you've taken. And she goes, yeah, I know. And then I went back. I traveled back into the ceremony that I was in. And then the lady comes up and she rubs my feet and she goes, she offers me more. And then I had more. And then my journey took me over to Mauna Poa, to my Mauna, where I had my ancestors and my iwi waiting for me. And I had my iwi waiting for me. And then I had one of my ancestors say to me, out of all the, you know, you're going to be the person that comes through our iwi and helps our people. Are you willing to accept this? And if I had stood back, I wouldn't have accepted it. And this was really visual, bro. It was fucking intense. And in that moment of time, I thought to myself, this is exactly why I come here, for this answer, you know, for their blessing. And I ended up accepting it, and then I stood forward, and this new identity just went, just tore out of me. All of my trauma just came out of me. Everything that I'd done bad by people just got ripped out of me, and this new head came over me. It was like snakeskin, bro. It was like snakeskin, and my new head came over me and started doing the pukana out to all the ancestors, out to all my iwi. And then I was just there, slow motion, just started busting out the bull, the haka. What the boo? Oh, what the boo? And everything was just slow motion, then went fast, boof, boof. And every time I like went, what the boo? Like, more of my community started popping up behind me. All my brothers, Zane, all the brothers started coming up behind me and joining in the haka. And that was confirmation that I'm on the right track for my people, for my ancestors. And what gave me the final confirmation was when I thought of my nan in that time, and she came down. She came down and she didn't say anything, but she just winked at me and took off. And then, fuck, man, I was sitting there at the end of this it was like a little mat on the ground, and I was sitting there at the end of this mat, and I was just like, what the fuck? And like, I had my legs crossed over like this. I had my legs crossed over like this, just like, what the fuck? This was crazy. This was an experience. This was out of it. And I was just thinking, and in that time, I was just looking up my arm at all my family and just thanking everybody, thanking all my family. And there was a thought that came to my mind. You know, there's always more that you can do. What else can you do? You know, although your sister's in jail, what else can you do? Because I've always used COVID as a way of not being able to go home and do anything. But I've also never, like, thought of, like, send her an email, send her a letter. And when I came out of there, yeah, I was looking at my family, and then on my T-shirts, I told you about that quote when I was looking up at my family, and then that quote was over there, and it goes, the right time only comes when you get so sick of waiting that you do something about it. And then right in that moment, everything to me made sense. And then when I came out of it, fuck, I just wanted to love the world. I wanted to ring my sister. So I sent her an email, everything, bro. Yeah, and she received it. And it was like just to let her know that I'm thinking of you, sis, and that you're not alone. And that one day I get to come back and spread this medicine throughout our community. And hope that it changes our community's lives. And, man, I can, my vision is that if I just be able to go back and just drop it into our community and, you know, just... Man, it's not going to happen one time, but I'm going to go back three times and do it three times over. So it strips away the layer the first time, and the second time, you know, the family and the community know about it. They bring more people, and then the third time, you get to create the leaders within their community before you go off to other ones. Mm. So, yeah, that's been my vision.
Fuck. Powerful, man. Shit.
Shit.
Sorry. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah.
I think you've, like, spoken to what a lot of our people feel. there's a longing to go home in some way. Yeah. We come here, we experience whatever we do. We come to this land, we heal, we find perspective, we get to express ourselves in safety. Mm. And then there's a missing, you know, we're ready to go home in some way. And what we do with that, everyone's journey is going to look different. But I feel like there's a few like little ships, a few little wakas going home where people are ready to like just give their medicine from their heart, you know, not even anything specific, but yo, like this is working for me. Mm. I just want to share it, you know, do you want to be a part of that? Mm. Yeah, and it's beautiful that you have the courage to speak about it, to do it, to actually put, you know, actions in place to talk make it come cheap. To life. Yeah. Yeah, like I'm really inspired as well, moved, really moved.
You know, these like things you can, for me, I kind of like set myself up by doing things, and there's like certain quotes that I live by as well. It's like I've got on there, less talk, more action. And that ties into a lot of things, that if you wear that shirt and you see, you know, less talk, more action, and bro, and you're not, you know, you've been all talk and no action, bro, you're going to get picked out for wearing that shirt. So when I put like quotes on my shirt, there's a lot of meaning behind it. There's a lot of work that's been put in behind the scenes, you know, whether that be me doing like fitness or helping community, bro, that when you buy that shirt, it's not just a label, you know, it's community, it's there to fucking push and inspire you to, you know, get the most out of your day and, you know, do whatever it takes. And these are words like man of action, let's talk more action, and then having those quotes and stuff like that man, let's live by the word.
Yeah. It's like having these codes set in place in your head where you're like, I don't break those kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, it's very easy for your old self to just like walk all over that kind of stuff, do all that talk, but like once you lock that shit into your head, it's like, I got to live by this. Like I guess for like religious people, you could almost talk about the Ten Commandments and, you know, and your relationship with Jesus and God.
Yep.
But then when it comes down to this stuff, it's the relationship with yourself. And it's like, if I break any of this, I'm the one that cops it. You know, I'm not going to hell or anything. I'm not getting kicked out of the church. For me, it's like I feel like an asshole. You know, and you're the only one who can heal that shit as well. You're the only one who can go back and be like, oh, I got to fix this up. I got to fix that up. Mm. Yeah, I find it's an amazing way to live when you've got your own code in your head that you've come up with by yourself and you're like, I'm never breaking this in there. Mm. I might fall down. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But there's always a way to work it back. Until you're dead in the ground, you know, there's always a way to come back from something.
100%.
More. Yeah.
Man, look forward to watching this festival blow up, your vision to come to life. And I think that's another cool thing.
Watching? I'm going.
Yeah. Oh, there's a ticket.
Excuse me, bro.
Yeah.
But like you've spoken into a vision. And then for me, like the way I see it, that if someone was to support your clothing business as well, not only is it happening in community, like it's another step to like the bigger vision that you have, you know, and then you almost get to be a part of it in some strange way. We're like, cool, like I've been a part of this process. I might not have like a direct connection in some way, but like, yo, I see you. Like I see what you're doing. Yeah, excited for you, bro.
Thank you, sis. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you sharing this morning, your time.
Wow, fuck.
Yeah, it's a trip. Thanks for the tears.
It's funny, shit. Because Ness met Te Amu before me, you know. And straight away after the first kapa haka, she came home and she was like, oh, yous are going to get along. And this, but whenever she says anything like that, like even like a friend of hers husband, she was like, oh man, you guys are going to get along. Ethan, and she was like, well, once you meet him, you're going to get along. So when she tells me that, I'm like, I'm always excited to meet this person, you know, because I know like they don't have to do the, fuck are you looking at? Oh yeah, and I own this car and I drive that and I've got this kind of house. I guess it's like relaxing. It's cool. Yeah, it's nice to meet like-minded people.
Yeah.
But then like to be inspired by like the shit they're doing and to be able to like have this opportunity to sit down with each other, you know, and hear these stories and, you know.
It feels like home. Like you feel like home. The people that we meet just feels like home. That's all we want to cultivate.
And that's the same, bro. Like it's real homely in here as well. Mm. I just love it. Yeah, love your full of space and just, yeah, inviting me into your full of
garage.
Yeah. Too bad you can't eat my snacks in case you
can't trust the fart, bro, after the colonic therapy. See.
I seen your leg shake, bro. Are you trying to hold it in? Or?
Nah, that's just me.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming through, bro. We'll leave it there. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Nah, bro. Nice message. Yeah, just out to all the whānau out there, man. And I have this quote that I live by, and that's You know, the day we get to, you know, block out the voices and opinions of other people is the day we get to start to live our lives. You know, because I know a lot of us, you know, most naturally talented motherfuckers on this earth, but the fear of judgment kind of holds us back from being the best version of ourselves.